once a week we had a very heavy interrogation by two interrogators, and most of the time we had to sit on a metal chair blindfolded. They tried to convince us that we made the wrong decision and we should deny our faith in Jesus, otherwise we would execute it by hanging. The only voice that we could hear in that building was the sounds of other prisoners whom were being beaten and tortured.
Hey, it's Shayla. Thanks for tuning in to this week's interview on Leadership Conversations with Nikki Gumbel. Today, we're sharing an interview that Nikki did in July of 2014 with former Iranian prisoners Mariam and Marzeya. These two women survived horrifying persecution for their faith in Iran, and they have such a sobering and profound story to let us into. We wanted to share this with you because it was one of the most listened to interviews that Nikki has ever done at HTB, and it is inspiring. I'll hand it off to Nikki to introduce them.
Around the world today, over 100 million Christians are persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And of the 10 countries where persecution is at its worst, Iran is one of those countries. Way back in 2009, those of you who are members of the congregation here back in 2009 will remember that we prayed a lot for two young women, Mariam and Marzeya, who were arrested because of their faith in Jesus Christ and imprisoned in Evin prison in Tehran, threatened with execution. And many of you prayed, some of you joined. Pip and I went up to the Iranian embassy to protest, but never did we really dream at that moment that one day those two young women would be here with us in this church, as they are tonight. Would you give them a very warm welcome? They come to speak to us. So as you can see, everyone's really excited to have you here tonight. Tell us how you became Christians.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank you for inviting us to the church and giving us this great opportunity to share our story. It's really an honor and blessing to be here. And we heard that many of you, most of you, were praying for us and supporting us when we were in prison. And it's really an honor to meet you in person and thank you. We really appreciate for your support. Actually, it's almost 15 years that I converted to Christianity, and from my childhood, I always loved God, and I did many researches about him, but because I was born into a Muslim family, Muslim country, the Sharia law couldn't answer to my questions. And I had many questions, and because the image that Islam give Muslims, it's about God, is the one who rule over the human race and punish them for the slightest sins. And in Islam, it's all about the punishment. And I had many questions, and I was asking in my school everywhere, but I couldn't get a right answer. And but despite all these reservations and all these questions, I still did my best to follow my religious duties because I thought I may be wrong and the truth will show itself to me one day in the future through Islamic rules. And that's why I prayed namaz for 2 years without fail. I used to read Quran, but I can say this type of prayer and worshiping were not making me feel any closer to my God. On the contrary, they were distancing me further from him, as they had become a routine action that I was forced to do, not I wanted to do. And for the first time, I was around 17, that God spoke to me through one of my dreams. In that dream, God revealed the real face of Muslim and Islam to me, and also he revealed his true love to me through White Horse. Unfortunately, I can't share all the details. You can read in the book because of the time. After that dream, I decided to put aside my religion duties and came to the conclusion that the most important part of being a believer is just my heart. Then I began to speak to my God in the way of a relationship between a father and a child by my language, Farsi. And one day I heard from one of my friends about Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God who has come to this earth for freedom from their sins. For the first time when I heard about Jesus, I became very curious because I hadn't heard anything like that about Jesus. I used to think he was also another prophet, as he had been introduced to us in our textbooks at school. So I told myself, how do I know Jesus is the truth? Maybe I need to do some research about other religions. And I started doing research about other religions. But after a while, I became so tired. And just I knelt and prayed and asked God to show me the truth. And I told him, if Jesus is the truth, you must guide me to the right path and save me from being misguided. And after these prayers, some miracles happened to my life. I had other dreams. For example, one of the miracles, for the first time when I attended in the church in Iran, I had a bad disease and Jesus healed me. And also I had the experience of baptizing by Holy Spirit. In that day, it was powerful. The power of Holy Spirit on me was so powerful. And I could see Jesus in front of me for a few seconds. He was standing next to a large throne, which was covering with shining gold. And at that time, suddenly all my doubts disappeared, and I felt that God had removed the curtain before my eyes. And I dedicated, that's why I dedicated all my life to Jesus. And that's why I tell people, you know, no one had forced me into anything or hypnotized me. No one had teaching me about Christianity. And I met with Jesus, and I learned how to live with Jesus, how to walk with him. And he was with me every day, even without going to a church. I learned how to live with Jesus, and I was in love with him. And because I tasted his love, and then I had this passion to share this with other people, with my family members, my friends, and praise God, after me, except my dad, all my family members are converted to Christianity too.
Fantastic. Brilliant.
Praise the Lord. It has been also 15 years that I converted to Christianity. At that time, we didn't know each other. It's just now 9 years that we are friends and we know each other. I also, you know, remember when I was a young child, I had so much passion for knowing the truths about God and for having relationship with God. But as you know, I'm from Iran, an Islamic country where religious laws and regulations always stop people from knowing the truth. And it starts exactly from childhood. For example, at the schools, students were forced to read the Quran or other Islamic books or pray namaz that is in Arabic. And all I was told about Jesus in that young age was that he was only a prophet of love and peace, nothing more. But I remember I had many questions in my mind, such as, what is the truth? Who is this God? And how I can have a close relationship with him. You know, I believe many Iranians have these struggles and have these questions in their minds. And I remember I also had many questions about Quran and Islam, which made me very confused and frustrated. But I was so eager to find the truth, so I tried to study and do some researches on other religions on my own. I read Persian translation of the Quran and some other books of other religions. Sometimes I prayed namaz, Islamic prayer. And also, I attended meetings of other religions from time to time. But none of those affairs could really help me and quench my thirst. I remember when I was 17, I was completely disappointed, and I thought it would be better not to follow any religion because I was tired of the meaningless rules which were just about religious laws, and I was tired of the God who was so far away, and I couldn't hear his voice. It was just me talking to him, but I couldn't hear him, I couldn't touch him. So eventually I stopped doing researches completely. Just whenever I was alone, especially at nights, I looked up into the sky and asked God to reveal himself to me and speak to me. You know, as Bible says, seek and you will find. I also believe when we are looking for the truth and when we want to have a close relationship with God, he has many different ways to reveal himself to us and to reveal the truth to us. For me, one day I've received a little booklet titled, His Name is Wonderful. It was a part of Book of Luke. And I have received it from my sister, and she told me that she had received that booklet from a man of the church near her university. When she gave that booklet to me, she said, read it, but don't read the last page because it's a conversion prayer for those who wants to become a Christian. Although she was not a prejudiced or religious Muslim, just she had some doubts about the way that Bible introduces Jesus as the Son of God. I just took the booklet from her. I went to my room and I started reading the booklet. I can say, you know, from the first page, I could feel that my heart was deeply moved. I started crying because I could feel the very presence of Jesus in my room and right in front of me. And while I was reading, I felt as if I had already known and heard of all those words in the book, and I just found my lost one. I believe in that same day that I read that little booklet, I met with Jesus Christ, and I always tell people that Jesus was the person who delivered and witnessed to me the good news of salvation. Even before I had spoken to anyone about him or had gone to a church, he revealed his truth to me, but before that he had prepared my heart for accepting that. So after 2 or 3 hours being in my room, I felt that I had already known Christ and I just found my lost one. And when I got to the last page of the booklet, I prayed the written prayer and I gave my heart to Jesus without any doubt or second thought.
So you were both 17 when you independently when you were, you became Christians, and immediately you had this passion, didn't you, to tell other people. I think you met at it's kind of like a Bible college in Turkey, and then you had this passion to go out and tell people. What did you do about that?
Yes, it was 2005 that we met each other in Turkey for the first time. For studying theology courses, and after finishing the theology courses, we decided to return to Iran because we both had the same passion about our country, our people. Even though we knew that how much is dangerous to serve the Lord in Iran, but we decided to return because we shared a little about our testimony that we tasted the love of Christ and we wanted to share this with our people. And when we returned to Iran for the first few months, we didn't have any idea what should we do and how we can serve our Lord here, especially as a woman. And we were praying for a few months. And one day God spoke to me through a Bible. I was reading Bible. He showed me that Iran is like a big land, that there is no seed in this land. And he told me, first you need plant some seed, then I will grow all these seeds by Holy Spirit. And also Mariam had a dream, and we became sure that we should evangelize Iranian people by distributing Bibles. Because in Iran, there is just a false and distorted version of Bible, which called Barnabas Bible. And in that Bible, it says after Jesus, Muhammad will come. And Jesus was a prophet, which is not true. And Iranian government usually sell this Bible in bookstores. And that's why we decided to put the right Bible in people's hands. But at that time, we didn't have any Bible with us. And we just called our pastor. He was in London, the director of Ilam Ministry. And we asked him to send thousands of New Testaments to Iran. And it wasn't easy for them because they had to find an illegal way to smuggle all those New Testaments to Iran. And again, we were praying for a few months, and praise God, after a few months, we could receive those New Testaments. And we started our first mission in Tehran, the capital of Iran. We bought a map and we put it on the wall, and we started from the north of Tehran to the south. You can see the picture of the map in the book. And usually at night, we carried about 114 New Testaments in our backpack and visited one area in Tehran and put them in the mailboxes. And I remember sometimes we had to walk for long hours, about 8-9 hours, in order to cover all part of that area. And nothing happened to us. And praise God, after almost 3 years, we could distribute 20,000 New Testaments in all part of Tehran. And every day, nothing happened to us. And every day we could see God's presence with us. We could see his miracles, that how he was with us, how he was protecting us. There are some stories you can read in the book that how God did many miracles to protect us. And it really strengthened our faith because we could see his presence with us. And that's why I believe that when we trust God, when we ask God to use us as a tool to send his message to other people, God can do amazing and impossible things through each of us. It doesn't matter that we are alone. It doesn't matter that we are just two. It doesn't matter that we are weak. It's all about God. It's not about us. And we should just trust him and ask him to use us. And after this mission, we heard from some of our friends that some official announced it in the parliament that a big Christian group started distributing Bibles in Tehran. And praise God, they didn't know it's not a big Christian group. It's just two girls with two backpacks. And praise God, even we got arrested, they didn't know about this. We believe that if they had known, they would have executed us immediately. But I'm sure today they know because they read the book and maybe they are disappointed to release us. After finishing this first mission, we started two house churches. One of them was among prostitutes and the other one among young people in our own apartment. And it's another story that how God lead those people to us, especially prostitutes. And also every day we were evangelizing people. Whenever we went for shopping, doing our chores, eating at restaurant, we were talking to people and handing them a Bible as a gift. And as you know, all these activities are illegal in Iran because no one is allowed to promote any religion except Islam. And that's why some prejudiced Muslims, they had found about some of our activities and they reported about us, and Iranian government arrested us in 2009.
Tell us about that. You were arrested. What happened?
It was in March 2009. One day in the morning, Marzi received a phone call from a stranger. He had some questions about the car document and asked her to go to the police station. I remember we were both suspicious about that phone call that she had received because it had been months that we had this strange feeling that something bad would happen. We prayed and she went to the police station. I remember I was home, it was in the afternoon. I was waiting for Marzia to return from the police station. And suddenly I heard the sound of her with a few others behind the door. And when I looked through the people, I saw her with three guards standing there. At that moment, you know, my mind was in shock. I wanted to do something. I wanted to hide our cell phones in order to protect the names of those people who were coming to our house churches or call someone and let them know what was happening. But I couldn't do anything. I couldn't make a right decision. I just opened the door, let them in, and they entered our apartment. They ransacked everywhere. They took both of us with all our belongings, like Bibles, Jesus movies, and everything else that they had discovered in our apartment to the security police. We had to stay there for the whole first day. We had long hours of interrogation by our first interrogator, and he sent us to a dark and dirty cell in the basement and threatened us to physical torture. He told us that you must give us all the information about your friends, your activities as Christians, your networks, otherwise we will beat you until you vomit blood. You know, in that day, in that dark cell, we just hugged each other, we said goodbye because we thought it was our last day on earth. And we were so scared. We were pale. We couldn't even speak. Our mouth was so dry, we were not able to speak. And the only thing that we could do in those moments was just praying for each other. And I remember there were times that we couldn't even pray in Farsi, our own language, because we didn't know how to pray. We didn't know how to ask God to help us and give us the power. And in those moments, we would just pray in tongues. And we really praise God for this gift because we could feel how the Holy Spirit was leading us in our prayers and was strengthening us. We always tell people that without his presence, we couldn't stand even one day in prison because it was only God's grace, God's power, and his presence with us that helped us stand that difficult condition. And then after the first day, they transferred us to another detention, which was a small jail in the basement. Again, another detention was also a horrible place. We had to sleep on freezing and filthy floor with no carpet. It was in the winter and it was so cold. And I remember when we entered that detention, we were looking for something to cover ourselves and to keep ourselves warm. And we could just find some wet blankets, strongly smelling of urine. We realized that there were many prostitutes, addicted and homeless women in that detention, and the guards would lock the doors from 8 at night until morning, and prisoners could not even use restrooms. That's why most of those blankets were wet, but we had to use them to keep ourselves warm. I can say for the first 14 days that we were in that first detention, we couldn't take a shower, we couldn't brush our teeth. For days, we didn't have anything to eat or drink. We couldn't see the light. And physically, we were under so much pressure. And we would just pray for our release because we didn't want to be in that condition. But after a while, when we could see God's miracles and how he was using us as a tool to give his message to other women in that detention, we became so encouraged and we realized that he had a purpose and he had a plan for putting us in that dark place. So instead of praying for our release, we started to trust his plan. We started to pray for other women in that detention. And we believe we had great opportunities to share the message of salvation with most of those women in that detention. Because as we mentioned, you know, most people in Iran, men and women, are under so much pressure because of this government and Islamic rules. And specifically, women are the group who are under so much pressure because in Islam, women have no rights. And most of those women in that detention were so hopeless. They didn't have any hope for their future, for their lives. And that's why we believe it was a great opportunity for us to talk to them about Jesus. I remember every day we could gather in one cell, we could share the gospel with them, we could pray for them. And it was encouraging to see that most of those women were so interested in hearing about God's forgiveness in Jesus, about God's grace, God's love. Because in Islam, you don't hear these things. It's all about punishment. And we could see that some of those women, they would pray loudly, they would confess their sins, they would give their hearts to Jesus, which was really a miracle. And we believe that for the first 14 days that we were in that detention, we could share the gospel with about 70 to 80 prostitutes, addicted, and homeless women. And we really praise God for this great opportunity that He gave us.
And then I think you were transferred to Evin prison. Tell us about your time there.
Yes, after 14 days being in that detention that Mariam explained, the Iranian government transferred us to Evin prison in charges of apostasy, blasphemy, anti-government, and promoting Christianity. I can say Evin prison is notorious in Iran for arresting, raping, torturing, and executing of many innocent people. When we entered the Evin prison, we became surprised because we could see there are many political prisoners. They were respectful and intellectuals, like students, lawyers, journalists, doctors, just because their beliefs was against the Iranian government beliefs. And also, we could see there are many children in that prison, and it was horrible to see that little children, those little children in that horrible place. And they had to stay there because of the crimes of their mothers, and the Iranian government didn't care about their situation. And also, there were other criminals like murder, addicted, prostitutes, and all these prisoners had to live in one place. And there is another building in Evin prison, which is very famous. It's called 209. It's a security building. There are many solitary cells in that building, about 1-2 meters. And they usually send political prisoners in that building for torturing and interrogation. They transferred us in that building for 40 days. And once a week, we had a very heavy interrogation by 2 interrogators. And most of the time, we had to sit on a metal chair, blindfolded, and answer to their questions. They tried to convince us that we made the wrong decision and we should deny our faith in Jesus. Otherwise, we would execute it by hanging. The only voice that we could hear in that building was the sounds of other prisoners whom were being beaten and tortured. And it was like a mental torture for us because every day we expect them to come to our cell and take us for torturing. Also in Evin prison for almost 8 months, we were so sick and we were suffering from some physical problems. And there were some doctors, they refused to treat us. They refused to give us medicine because they were prejudiced Muslims. They believed that if you convert from Islam to any other religion, you are infidel and dirty. Another thing about Evin prison, which is horrible, it's execution of prisoners. We never experienced such a thing in our lives. For example, one day they came to the cell and took some prisoners and put them in the solitary cell. And the day after that, we would hear that they executed them. And those people were our friends. We were living with them. And it was very painful for all prisoners because all the prisoners were under so much pressure and nobody could do anything. They also executed one of our best friends. She was only 28 years old. She was a political prisoner and she was fighting for women's rights. And they executed them, and her executions was very painful for both of us. And I believe that it was like a sword in our hearts, and still we can't forget such a horrible thing. Mm. But praise God, despite all these difficulties, again, in Evin prison, we had many great opportunity to share the message of salvation with many prisoners. And for the first few months, I remember there were some prisoners, they were prejudiced Muslims, they called us dirty Christian, I mentioned earlier, because they believe that if you convert from Islam, you're infidel and dirty. But we try to show them who Jesus is, what his teachings are, by our behaviors rather than our words, by respecting them, by loving them, by praying for them, and by helping them. For example, there were some prisoners, they couldn't afford themselves to buy food. They didn't have any family, and we tried to help them. And every day we were praying for them. We were crying with them. And because of all these behaviors and because of our prayers, they could see many miracles through our prayers. They could see the power of God. And that's why there were some prisoners, they came to us and they told us that we can see there is a difference between our faiths and your faiths, because every day we are praying namaz, but God doesn't answer to our prayers. But when we can see that whenever you pray, God answers to your prayers immediately. And that's why they changed their behaviors with us, and they started to listen to us, to respect us. And also there were some guards, they came to us and they asked us to pray for them, and they apologized because of their behaviors. And it was a miracle because they could see the power of God through our prayers. They could see his miracles. And we believe that we were more free inside the prison to give the message of salvation to many prisoners rather than outside the prison, because when we were free, we had to pray and ask God to lead a right person to us to talk. But inside the prison, we could talk to anybody. And one day I heard one of my interrogators talk to me, and he was very angry. And he told me that I heard that you're talking to prisoners about Jesus. And I told him, yes, of course we talk to prisoners about Jesus, because I believe that it's not our faults, it's your faults, because you arrested us and you put us in that prison, and prisoners are curious. They ask us why you are here, what is your charge? So we had to explain to them that why we are here. So it's not our faults, it's your faults. And they were angry. They were angry about this, but they couldn't do anything. And that's why we believe that even though the Iranian government had tried to silence us by keeping us in that prison, but we had more opportunity to share the message of salvation with many prisoners. And also we believe that the Evin prison and the detention that Mariam explained became our church, because before we got arrested, we had a different view about church. That church is just a nice building that we can attend, we can worship God. We can enjoy our fellowship. But later we understood that no, it's not true. Everywhere can be a church, even a dark and brutal place like Evin prison.
Amazing. And really, they were threatening you with execution and saying that they would release you if you would renounce your faith. How did you find the strength not to renounce your faith in that situation?
Yes, you know, for the 9 months that we were in Evin prison, we had almost 10 trials, and in each of them, our judges threatened us to execution by hanging. And we would hear the same thing from our interrogators in that security building that Marzi explained, 209, over and over. And I also remember that some of these judges told us that if you write just one sentence that you convert from Christianity to Islam, we will release you immediately. I can say that the most important reason that we couldn't deny our faith in Jesus when we were in prison was the personal relationship that we had with him. We just shared our testimonies with you, how we converted to Christianity, how we met with Jesus, how we tasted his love, and we had seen many miracles in our lives. We believed we are not just followers of religious rules, and we hadn't just converted to a Christian religion. We are both in love with Jesus because we tasted his love, and that was the reason that we gave our hearts to Jesus. And that was the reason that when we were in prison, we couldn't deny him. You know, when we talk to people, when we evangelize people, we always try to encourage them to experience having relationship with the person of Jesus Christ, not just follow some religious rules. Because in our lives, when we face difficulties, when persecution comes to our lives, the only thing that can really help us to stand on our faith is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, not just following some religions or some religious rules. And also, if you read the Bible, Jesus himself in the Bible says, if you wish to follow me, you must pick up your own cross and follow me every day. As followers of Jesus, it was very important for us to pass through this test with victory. And today we give all the glory to God, because as I mentioned earlier, without his presence, without his power, we couldn't stand even one day in prison. And he was the one who gave us this victory. He was the one who gave us this power to pass through this test. And also we believe it was really an honor for both of us to suffer for our faith in prison, because the sufferings that we had to endure during those 9 months in prison, in comparison with what Jesus did on the cross for our sins, was really nothing.
Mm-hmm. And after 259 days, they released you. Why do you think they released you?
For the first few months that we were in Evin prison, we didn't have any connection with the world outside, and we thought that we completely forgotten because we were not allowed to call our families. But after a few months when we call our sisters, we heard that many Christians from different parts of the world are supporting us either by praying and sending letters to prison, which was so encouraging for both of us by hearing that, and we understood that we are not alone. Instead, we have a big Christian family that they are supporting us, and they are standing with us in that that battle. And we believe that the most important reason that we are free today, we got released, it's because of God's grace and His power. But the second reason we believe that it's because of Christian support. For example, when we were in that prison, we heard from some guards that every day we were receiving many letters, and they told us that every day you're receiving about 50 letters, and your letters are more than our official letters. And they were angry about this, but they couldn't do anything. They could see that there is a unity among Christians, and we are not alone, and that's why they had to change their behavior with us. Even though we couldn't read those letters because they didn't give us any of those letters to read, but we heard from some of those guards that some judges forced them to open those letters, to read those letters, to check what people has written for us. And some of them became curious about Jesus, and they came to us and asked some question about Jesus. And for example, they asked, what does it mean? Jesus is shepherd. And we tried to explain to them. And we understood that even though we couldn't read those letters, but God used those letters to send His message to the guards, to the judges. And we really praise God for this. Also, Iranian government were under so much pressure from some international and influential organizations such as United Nations, Amnesty International, and also other, there were other organizations that they covered our news, like Elam Ministry, like Open Doors. And also we heard that even Pope from Vatican sent a letter to Iranian government and asked for our release. And because of all these pressures, the Iranian government had to release us, unlike their desires. Because of the politics, they wanted to show that there is religious freedom in Iran, which is not true. And as you know, still there are many Christians who are in that prison and suffering for their faith.
Amazing. Amazing. So since your release, what have you been doing?
We wrote a book about our prison experiences, captive in Iran. And also we are students now. We are full-time students. We are studying international law in order to be advocates for our people in Iran. And and also we are working on our second book, which will be just about women in Islam, specifically women in Iran. We would like to show how these Islamic rules destroy the lives of women.
Amazing. And you have a vision, don't you, to see Iran change? Just say what that vision is.
Yes, even though we don't live in our country now, but Iran is our country, our home, and we pray that one day our country became a free country and people live in freedom. Students, there are many students who are in the jail instead of being in universities, and women doesn't have equal rights with men. And we pray that one day students being in the universities instead of being in the jail, and women have equal rights with men, we would have a righteousness government. But our prayer is that to one day to see the kingdom of God in our country, and people can worship Jesus in freedom without any fear.
Amazing. So we are very blessed to live in a country where we can worship Jesus, but we're really challenged and inspired by your boldness. What's your message to us as a church here in the West?
You know, I remember after 9 months that we got released, the day that we were leaving Evin prison, we were so happy. We praised God for the victory that he gave us. But on the other hand, we were not happy because we had to leave our friends behind. And we knew that still there were many innocent women in that dark place suffering only because of this government, because of these Islamic rules. And we believe today part of our hearts are still in Evin prison with those people. That's why when we left Evin prison, we promised ourselves and we promised most of those women to be a voice for them and to share their stories with the world. Because as we mentioned earlier, we believe that God had a purpose and had a plan for putting us in that dark place. We had seen many injustices in Evin prison. And that's why today we both feel responsible because we believe that God had put this burden on our hearts, and we feel responsible for our people in Iran, for those people who do not have any voice. Today we are living in America, a free country, like most of you who are living in a free country. And you know, we always encourage people not to take their freedom for granted, because we believe that the freedom that we have in these free countries is really a blessing and valuable gift from God, and we must appreciate this freedom. Also, we should use this freedom in order to show our support for our brothers and sisters in those countries that people are under persecution. It's not just Iran, our country. There are many Islamic countries like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Iraq. Every day we read the news about, you know, persecution and what is happening to Christians. We believe that we need to stand with those people and we need to show our support for them. There are many ways that we can help them. We always encourage people to pray. We know that most of you here were praying for us when we were in prison, and it's really a blessing and pleasure to be able to see your faces and to thank you in person. Because, you know, when we were in prison, we could feel the power of prayers. There is power in our prayer because we pray in Jesus' name. That's why we would like to encourage you to pray, and not only for prisoners, but also for their families, because sometimes it's even more difficult for the families outside when they have someone in prison. And also there are many practical ways that we can get involved. We can show our support by writing letters and sending them to prison. Marzi just mentioned about the letters, how those letters made a huge difference for us. You never know who opens those letters. You may be an encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ, or you may send a message of salvation to someone in prison, like guards or judges. So we would like to encourage you to just pick one name, pick one prisoner, and start writing letters and sending them to prison. You can sign petitions, you can talk to your governments, politicians, and ask them to put pressure on governments like Iran, because we know about our government, they are so scared of publicity, they care about public opinion, and we believe that this kind of support and this kind of help can make a huge difference for those people. Don't think that you're just one person. If you pray, if you write one letter, cannot make a huge difference. We know this, and we can promise you that, you know, these small things can make a huge difference for those people. And in fact, you can save lives of those people who are in different prisons. And the easiest way, you know, I believe that we can help those people is sharing this message with your friends, with your family members. We pray that, you know, when you leave this building today, Holy Spirit really leads you how you can support, how you can get involved for those people and for showing your support for them. We believe it's not our responsibility to tell you how to get involved, but we feel this responsibility to encourage you. Please get involved. Please support your brothers and sisters, because we believe if you are part of this body, if we are true believers, we need to show our support and we need to feel responsible for them, because as Bible says, we are all parts of one body. If one part suffer, every part should suffer with it. God bless you.
One final question. All of us have our fears that we face, but I doubt anybody here has had to face the fear of being executed right away and the kind of threats that you were under. How do you cope with those kind of fears? How do you overcome your fears in that situation?
People come to us and tell us that you are courageous, you are a hero, but we believe that we are just two ordinary women, and without God's power, we couldn't endure even one day in that prison. Mariam explained that the first day that we got arrested, we were so scared, we were pale, we couldn't talk, And sometimes I remember I felt physically, I felt that how much I was scared, but I could see that the words that come out of my mouth was different. It was power in my words. And I believe that it was because of God's power and the Holy Spirit really strengthened us during that time. As Jesus in Bible says that when you are arrested, when you are in prison, don't worry about what to say, because Holy Spirit will give you the words. And we really experienced this in the prison. And physically, I mentioned that we both were so scared, but we believe that the only thing that could help us, it was Holy Spirit and our prayers, our faiths, our relationship with Jesus that Mariam explained about this.
Mariam and Azia, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mariam and Marzia, for allowing us to share this interview. I think I can speak for all of us when I say the two of you are remarkable, and we truly have so much to learn from your example of faithfulness and witness. Coming up in 2 weeks, we're going to take another break from Nikki doing the interviewing to share his talk from the Leadership Conference this past May. This message is chock full of hope and optimism for the future, and really prophetic messages for us as followers of Jesus. This was one of the most impactful moments of this year's Leadership Conference, so we want to deviate a little from our usual format for you to hear it. The world needs hope more than ever, and Nikki Gumbel is one of the most hopeful people I've ever known. Well, that's all from me for today. If you found this conversation with Mariam and Marzia to be inspiring and challenging, I encourage you to share it with a friend. And if you haven't already, please give us a like, review, or hit subscribe. Bye for now.